His mother had to watch him be humiliated, degraded, beat, and finally killed in the most horrific way. I'm glad I wasn't there for it, because it would probably be too much for me to watch a mother go through that. I am going to tell you that today's service is going to be different, because I am going to be using a prop, and I'm going to ask that Courtney bring my little buddy Tate down. And if you have not met Tate, he is the happiest kid you've ever met. He's got the best parents in the whole world. But on top of all that, he loves me. Say hello, Tate. I know it's overwhelming. You didn't realize we had that many ugly members either, did you? Courtney, don't get too far away in case he gets fussy, but anyway, I hope he'll stay with me. There's something about holding a baby that's so special, amen? The science says that it releases endorphins, and there is a hormone called oxytocin, I think, and it's the cuddle hormone, and it makes you want to cuddle a baby. And there's other things that happen when you hold a baby, but today I want to talk to you about an unusual baby that I held. You see, I was an old man living in Jerusalem, and at the time I was there. I am the forgotten man of the Christmas story. You see the nativity scenes, and you see the magi, and you see the shepherds, and you even see the cows and horses, but there is no figurine for me. But I was there before the magi. I was there. I met Jesus before they did, and I can prove it to you, because when I met Jesus, Joseph and Mary were only bringing 2 pigeons and 2 doves for the sacrifice. And the normal sacrifice is, if you had money, you would bring a lamb. And if the Magi had gotten to see Jesus before me, they would have had a lamb. Oh, it was terrible that I have been forgotten. But I wasn't forgotten back then. You see, I was doing my best to be a good man. Everything I did, I tried to do what was right in God's sight. I was devout in my worship. I never missed a service. And several times a week, I would go to the temple just to pray, just to be close to God. And because of that, God had granted me His Spirit. And His Spirit was upon me. And at one point, He promised me something so special, and that was I would get to see the Messiah, or as you might know Him, the Anointed One. It was a sunny day. You could see people coming in and out of the temples, some with their gifts, some with their prayers. And I had an urging, and I don't know how to describe it, but I had an urging to go into the temple courts. And when I walked into the temple courts, I began to look around. And my eyes fixed on this couple. And this couple, they weren't really well dressed. They didn't seem to have a lot. They were kind of humble, if you will. And then all of a sudden, my eyes fixated on their baby. And in my heart, God's Spirit spoke to my spirit, and I knew He was the Messiah we had been waiting for. I watched them closely for just a few seconds before I approached them, and I was kind of nervous about approaching them, because if you don't know somebody and you go and you just try to grab their baby, it's a little weird. But I went and I stood before them, and I held out my arms as if to say, "Give me your baby." And with some hesitation, Mary handed him over. And at that moment, I knew I had seen the Messiah. And I don't know whether it was my spirit speaking or God's spirit speaking, but I said, "Your servant is at peace now. I can die because I have seen the Anointed One. I have seen the salvation of Israel. Not only Israel, but the whole world." And with that, I took a moment and held him and trembled. And there was this sense of awe that I had, that God had granted me this special day. You see, as you get older, the days get harder and babies get heavier. They make them big over at their house, don't they? But I knew that I was seeing the salvation of the world. I knew I was getting to see the promise of salvation that was going to come through this baby. I bless Joseph and Mary. And when I blessed them, it was as if they didn't know what to say. They just were stunned. And they were listening and trying to capture every word that I had. And as I blessed them, I realized that this baby, you're getting bored too? You're not supposed to do that while I'm preaching. That's only for mom and daddy, okay? But as I blessed them, I knew that this baby would cause the rise and fall of many and would reveal the hearts of many. But more than anything, I knew that this child was going to pierce his mother's heart. I didn't get to see it, but I know about it. His mother had to watch him be humiliated, degraded, beat, and finally killed in the most horrific way. I'm glad I wasn't there for it, because it would probably be too much for me to watch a mother go through that. They left with the baby, but I left with peace. I left with joy, because I knew salvation was not only coming to me, but to the whole world. We tell that story. And I've tried to use first person Simeon to tell that story. And by the way, the sermon's going to get short because this baby's heavy. I've tried to use that story today to get you to go back to that time and think of the faith that Simeon had. You see, one of the things that I know about Simeon and the fact that his spirit and God's spirit were working in unison is that Simeon was obedient to God. And if you want God's spirit in your life, you've got to be obedient to God. Not just in the areas that you want to be obedient, but in all the areas of your life. If you have your lesson notes, open them up on the inside. And I've got one question for you today. And that is, what if God really came to earth? I have friends that think the Christmas story is just a story, just like Santa Claus. But what if Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He really came to earth? What would it mean to us today? The very first thing I've got on your note is one, is it proves how much we are loved. It proves how much we are loved. I have a friend who has a grandbaby, and he was over at his daughter's house, and that baby was acting up and doing things they shouldn't do. And granddad was watching the baby, and mom came in and scolded the baby and said, "You can't do that, you know better," and took the baby and put it in the crib. And granddad went to reach down and pick up the baby because that's his grandbaby. And he did not want his grandbaby to be in that pen because he could see that the grandbaby was sad and crying. And he went to reach, and his daughter looked at him and scolded him, said, "Don't you dare get him out of that pen." And so he stopped, waited for her to leave, and reached down. And as he's reaching down, she turns the corner because she knew her dad. The baby's still crying. Granddad starts to tear up. The two of them don't know what to do anymore. And so what do? Granddad gets in the pen with him. You see, the very first thing that I want you to know, that Jesus came to earth to prove that you are loved. There's so many of us in the world today that are looking for love in all the wrong places. But Christ came to show you true love. The second thing it proves is how much we are worth. It proves how much we are worth. I got a text from Austin today telling me to tell all of the teens that Merry Christmas and that he misses them. And I think the reason why he does that is because he loves those kids. You do too, don't you? He loves those kids and he wants them to know. This is the reason why we don't do this every Sunday. Oh, I know. How many of you are praying for him to do that? I'm telling you, he's not shutting me up and neither are you. But it shows us how much we're worth. I have a friend who collects baseball cards. And when I go to visit him, he'll show me these cards that he's gotten. And as he shows me these cards, there's some of them that are worth lots of money. And I will ask him from time to time, "What makes this piece of cardboard worth so much?" And he will look at me and he'll say, "Because what people are willing to pay for it." What makes you worth so much is what God was willing to pay to redeem you, to have you in heaven. Number three is that we have a Savior. That we have a Savior. You see, Simeon didn't go and just see a baby. He saw salvation. There's a lot of people I would like to meet. I read a biography by Bono. I would like to meet that guy. He's very interesting to me. Plus, I like his music. I'd like to meet Tom Brady and tell him to quit being an idiot sometime. I'd like to tell our president to keep his mouth shut from time to time. Reason why I'm saying that is because there's lots of people we would like to meet. Simeon probably had some people he would like to meet, but what he met was a Savior, something that we all need. Number four is the reason we need a Savior. Number four is the reason we need a Savior. You see, He doesn't save us from the troubles that we're in right now. He does not save us from a hard life. He does not save us from our financial woes, our health woes, or anything like that. We are still going to deal with living in this world. What He saves us from is sin. The reason for the season is sin. And you need to remember that, not only that we need a that we have a Savior, but we need a Savior. Every single one of us, no matter how good of a life we have lived, needs a Savior, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when Simeon saw Jesus, he realized that he had a Savior. I know, buddy. It's getting way too long, isn't it? The final thing I want you to know is it proves there is hope for this life and the life beyond. But I hope that you will make every day about being Christ-like to others. We sing an invitation song. We do that every week. We want to encourage each other to make changes in our lives that will cause us to be closer to Jesus and better people to the world. Go out this week and bring glory to God. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.